John and chapter 8. When you read this glorious gospel, you can't miss the teaching about the deity of Christ because it's everywhere. It's the glory of this gospel. Now, there's another truth that stands out too as you go through the gospel of John. You can't miss it. And it's unsaved man's inability to receive truth about his lost condition. He just doesn't see it. And he doesn't see the ability Jesus has to save lost people. He's totally blind. Can't see it. This is throughout the Gospel of John, especially the early chapters. You see all the tension between Jesus and the Jews, especially the religious leaders. And there couldn't be a clearer presentation of who Jesus is and who man is, and they just can never get it. It just keys us into this idea that man can't help himself, and apart from the grace of God, he's lost and will stay lost. So we're going to see today that man is helpless, not hopeless, but helpless. And there are people out there who teach that unsaved man has the ability, still has some ability to accept Jesus or to decide for Jesus. They say that man is not so dead that he can't make that decision for Christ. You have to have a new definition for dead to get to that point. Because when the Bible says you're dead in sins, you're spiritually dead. No dead man can do anything. Somebody has to do something to the dead man. They give him life, and that's what God has to do. So we're going to see that today, as we've seen throughout John's gospel, that Jesus is teaching, he's going around doing good, he's helping people, he's performing miracles, he's making the clearest teaching you could ever have. And they're listening to it, and they're looking at him and seeing the miracles and still not believing. So, you know, people say, well, if God came down and just did a miracle, then I'd believe in him. No, you wouldn't. They were right there seeing miracles and hearing the Son of God preach absolute truth, and they still didn't believe. So it's God's grace that is required. The Jews rejected his claims repeatedly. Man is responsible to believe and to repent and to embrace Christ. But he has no ability to do that apart from God's grace. So when it's all said and done, who gets the glory? God. Somebody might be saying in this life, I did this and that's why I'm saved. But when they get there, there'll be no boasting. At all. Shouldn't be any boasting now, but there'll be no boasting in heaven when the eyes meet Jesus and see how utterly undone you were and what it took to get you saved. So we're dealing with Jews who think they're very smart, think they're very knowledgeable, think they're getting into the kingdom of God, and they're lost and don't recognize it. The Jews felt secure that because Abraham was their father, and they knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their God. You look back in verse 41, they were confident. They said to Jesus, we're not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So they believed in God. They said, we're good there. Jesus said, no. He told them, he said, if God was your father, you would love me. And if Abraham was your father, you would do the works of Abraham, which is to love me and obey me. And he said, in verse 44, he said, your father is the devil. So I'm telling you now who your real father is. It's the devil. And how offended were they? Verse 48 tells you how offended they were. They attacked him personally and said, don't we say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus always responded in a way that honored his father. He didn't revile them back. He just graciously said in verse 51, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, if a man keeps my word, he shall never see death." So he offered them this great plan of salvation. Just follow me, believe in me, and keep my word, obey my words, and you'll never see death. Isn't that an amazing offer? That's for us today, too. For all the people who wonder, how do I get to heaven? Hold on to me, believe my word, hold on to it, keep it, obey it, and you'll never see death. You'll never die. So verse 52, we see the problem. Problem starts here because they're still insistent that he's a crazy man. Listen to verse 52. Then the Jews said unto him after this great offer, "Now we know that you have a demon." All right, that sealed it for them. "Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keeps my saying, he shall never taste of death." They just basically said, now we know you're crazy. They had no discernment of spiritual truth, and they thought Jesus was referring only to physical death because they had no discernment. So they're just saying, "No, you're just talking about physical death. These guys are dead. And you say we'll never taste death?" They knew Abraham had died and the prophets. So when Jesus said, "If any man keeps my word, he'll never die," they couldn't believe their ears. They were shocked. They said, "This man must be crazy." The great patriarch Abraham and the faithful prophets could not escape death. So how could Jesus promise lesser persons that they would never die if they keep his word? They just couldn't. They couldn't grasp what Jesus was after. He wasn't speaking about physical death, obviously. But that's what they thought. So they asked this question in verse 53. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" They're thinking and saying, basically, "Who do you think you are, Jesus? How can you make such a claim as this?" So Jesus answers. Verse 54. Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God." So Jesus graciously doesn't engage in reviling. By the way, that's our model. 1 Peter chapter 1. When you're reviled, when Jesus was reviled, he reviled not in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he just trusted himself to the God who judges righteously. You don't have to talk back to people when they revile you. When they say things against you, hate speech against you, you just, in love, keep telling them the truth. Jesus is the only way. The most unpopular message that people never want to hear is Jesus is the only way of salvation. They want all religions to be on the equal plane, and everybody's going to heaven. We just have different ways of getting there and different names that we call God, but we're all going to be okay, right? No. Jesus is the only way. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. They hate that message. The Jews hated it. Jesus was telling them right in their face, "I am the way, the only way." They said, "No, you're crazy. These people are dead. And you say, if we believe you and obey your word, we won't die?" The greatest people in the world in Jewish history died. And you say, we won't die? So he tells them, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It's my Father that honors me, of whom you say he is your Father, he's your God." He reminds them here of the truth that he spoke back before in verses 49 and 50. Jesus did not come to seek honor for himself and glory for himself. He didn't have to, because he knew his Father would honor him. The Father gave Jesus authority to give life to the dead and to judge men for the purpose of honoring Jesus. If you look at, go back to John 5. Verses 21 through 23. For as, verse 21, as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. So throughout, Jesus has been telling them that my Father is in heaven and I'm here, but I'm one with my Father. I'm equal with my Father. And he's trying to impress that upon them. Verse 22 says, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son. Why did God give Jesus the ability to give life as the God-man? Why did he give him all the judgment over men? Verse 23, for this reason, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Right there, they knew it. He's saying he should be honored just as much as God the Father. They couldn't take that. But that's what Jesus is saying. Because I'm equal with my Father, I get the same honor. I do the same works, get the same honor. He that honors not the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So these are recurring themes that Jesus brings forth to the Jewish leaders all the time. They just couldn't grasp it. All men were to honor Jesus as they honor God. That's what he's saying. And these words of Jesus about men never tasting death if they keep his word, they're not the words of a crazy man who's demon-possessed. They're the words of truth. And these Jews are so unable to grasp this truth because they think God is their Father while they're dishonoring the one they're supposed to be honoring if they honor the Father. Totally can't see what they're doing here. They're saying, Jesus, you have a demon. And Jesus said, my Father honors me and gives me the same honor that he gets, and you're calling me a man who has a demon. And they still couldn't get it, still couldn't see it. They're the ones that are out of their minds, amen? Not Jesus. And verse 55, the first part explains why they can't get it. Verse 55 says, yet you have not known him, but I know him. This is why they're so mixed up. They have not come to know the true God. They claim to know God, but their words and their actions reveal a hatred for God because they hate his Son. That's how they revealed it. Didn't even have to say it. They hated the Son of God. Therefore, they hate the Father they say is their God. They were so deceived that they said Jesus had a demon. Well, they said, God is my Father. In reality, their father was a devil, and Jesus was the eternal Son of God who did not have a demon. That's how deceived they were. That's how strong their unbelief was. And Jesus separates himself from them in verse 55 after he said, you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say, I don't know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. So Jesus separates himself from the Jews by telling them that he was not a liar like they were. Not even in the same class with you people. I'm the Son of God. I don't lie. God cannot lie. Jesus knew God, but they didn't. And they lied by claiming to know God when they didn't. That's their lie. Jesus has maintained his sonship all along, and they were supposed to honor him. Look at John chapter 7 for just a moment. John 7, 28. John 7, 28. Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, "You both know me, and you know from where I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." He had told them all along, "You know me. You know, I've identified myself. You know where I'm from. I said I'm from heaven. And you know my Father is the one who sent me." Totally deceived. And it's like, if you're talking to somebody about these simple truths, it's like talking to the wall. Apart from God's grace, they just can't get plain language. The natural man understands not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them for what? They are spiritually appraised or discerned. You must have God's Spirit in you to open your eyes to understand these truths. You say, "Well, can't anybody just go through this like a piece of literature and just read this and understand it?" To some degree, you could, and have an academic understanding, but you can't understand the spiritual meaning behind those academic words. And it never touches your life and moves you to trust in Christ. Okay, back to John 8. We're so blessed. God has opened our eyes. We can see some of these things. Not as clearly as we want. We still see in a glass darkly. But one day, we'll see him clearly and know him as he has known us. What a day that's going to be. But thank God for his word. He gives it to us. His Spirit teaches us. And so we can know a lot about God. Not as much as we want, but we can know a lot. But these folks could not get it. Jesus also proves this in verse 55 when he says, "I know him and I keep his saying." He proves he's the Son of God. He is totally obedient to his Father. That's how you know a person knows God. A lot of people say, "I know God. Yeah, I'm a Christian." But what's in their life is their heart's desire to do the will of God. That's what obedience is, to do the will of God. If you see their life as a shambles, they're not really interested in obeying God. They don't know God. God changes your heart when he saves you, so that you want to do his will. And we stumble and we fall many times short of the glory of God, short of doing his will all the time. But that's the heart's desire. That's the changed man. And if your heart desires to do his will, you know what will happen? You'll be able to do it. And it'll be seen and understood that you're a changed person. Only those who truly know God in a personal way will be able to obey his commandments. The Jews did not obey, therefore, the proof, they didn't know God. So Jesus moves on and says, in verse 56, "Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." The Jews said unto him, "You are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" So the Jews had already said, "Abraham is our father," back in verse 39. Now Jesus said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." Abraham lived 2,000 years before Jesus came on the scene. The Jews thought Jesus said that he had seen Abraham, but that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, "I saw Abraham." He said, "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." So they misconstrued that as well. And Jesus was referring to the account in Genesis 22. We won't go back there, but just a brief summary of Genesis 22. Where God said to Abraham, take your son, your promised son, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. In other words, sacrifice him. Abraham was obedient. He did that. He got all the wood, made an altar, tied up his son, put him on the altar, and was ready to obey the Lord and sacrifice him. And the angel of the Lord said, stop. I see you're going to comply with the program. You don't have to do that. There was a ram caught in the thicket. That was the sacrifice God had made. It was a lamb. It was a precursor to Abraham to see the Lamb of God. The lamb. A ram is a lamb. It's just a male lamb that got older, over a year old. And he sacrificed that lamb. And Abraham was beginning to see something. He was beginning to see Christ in a veiled way, admittedly, because it's Old Testament, but he was seeing Christ in that ram being offered in place of a human being. A substitutionary death of an innocent victim. He was beginning to see what was going to happen in the future when Christ would come. That's not all. Hold your place there and turn with me to Hebrews 11, because it's mentioned here also. In Hebrews 11, we have all these heroes of the faith, and Abraham is one of them. And this sheds some light on this saying of Jesus when he says, back in John 8, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So this sheds some light on that. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, that was Genesis 22, the test, he offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now remember, Isaac was the promised son. So Abraham had the Abrahamic covenant and the promise, you're going to have a son. And he's going to carry the seed through his offspring and on and on and on until the seed that was promised in Genesis 3 would come forth, Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. And so listen, Abraham waited until he was 100 years old till he had Isaac. He said, this is it. This is the one God promised. And now God says, go kill him. Abraham says, okay, Lord, but this is the seed. Your program cannot proceed without this seed. We got to have this one. We got to keep him alive. But you want me to kill him? Okay, I'm ready. Abraham was going to go through with it, knowing that this seed was necessary to bring forth all the promises of the Abrahamic covenant and God's promises to him. That his offspring would be more than the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. How can this be, Lord? Look at verse 19. This is what Abraham believed. He accounted that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he received him back in a figure. You know what Abraham believed? He believed in the resurrection. He said, God, if I had to kill my son, because of your promise, and you always have to keep your promises, you would resurrect him to make that promise sure. That's what it means. If we go back to John chapter 8, your father Abraham, verse 26, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. That's what it means. Abraham saw the substitutionary atonement on the mountain, and he believed that God would resurrect his son if he had indeed had to kill him. Well, the Jews didn't understand any of that. So they said in verse 57, you're not yet 50 years old and you've seen Abraham. They're still not getting it. They were beside themselves, totally mixed up. They had no understanding of truth. They guessed at his age. Jesus was in his 30s, early 30s. And they twisted his words again. Jesus never said that I saw Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced and was glad in it. So Jesus proclaims his identity to the Jews so clearly that even they couldn't misunderstand this meaning. When he said in verse 58, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. One of the great statements in the Bible. We'll look at this just a little bit. So what Jesus is saying here, clearly, I am God. I am God. I'm telling you now, I've told you many different ways, and it was clear then, but here, this is the clearest way I can say it. I am God. I am equal with God. I'm equal with the God that Moses met at the burning bush. Can we just look at that for a moment? Exodus 3. So Moses went to this bush and he saw it was on fire and it wasn't being consumed. And God told him to take off his sandals and shoes because he was on holy ground. And he spoke with God and God spoke with him. And he said, you're going to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Verse 13. Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the children of Israel, when I go to tell them all these things, and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, they shall say to me, what's his name? What am I going to say to them? Moses is very concerned because he's meeting God in a way that he's never met him before. Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. How'd you like to go to the people with that? Is there anything else I can tell them? To clarify this a little bit more? No. Because what the Lord is telling them here is that I am that I am. The eternal I am is what it means. The self-existent one. That's what he's going to tell the children of Israel. Moses, tell them this, I am sent you. And he's going to go to the people and say, I am sent me to tell you this message. Okay, go back to John 8. Let's apply this. John 8, 58. Jesus said unto them, truly, truly, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Abraham was born in time. What Jesus is saying here in verse 58 is that he not only existed before Abraham, but that his existence transcends time. In other words, he has always existed. Just like God the Father has always existed, the eternal God, Jesus has always existed as the eternal God. Eternal Father, Eternal Son, Eternal Holy Spirit. They all existed eternally before there was a world. And that's what Jesus is saying. I'm the same as the God who has always been. The God you know as God your Father, I am his equal. Abraham was born in time. Jesus is saying that he not only existed before Abraham, but his existence is eternal. When you see these I am sayings, always reflect back when Jesus says, I am. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, the life. I am the vine. When all these I am sayings, think back to Exodus 3 and say, this is the same I am that was at the burning bush. The eternal God. No beginning of days, no end of life. He's telling this to the Jews. Do you think they understood this time? Yes and no. Not really, but they understood what he was saying when he said, I am equal with God. Because verse 59 tells us, they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself. Went out of the temple, going through the midst of them and passed by. They knew what he was saying in this sense. He was saying he was equal with God. And that's why they hated him and thought he was a blasphemer, because they could only see a physical man. They knew his parents. They watched him grow up. They were a little confused when he raised people from the dead and healed the blind and all that. But they just said, well, he had a demon, that's why. They could not really grasp that he was equal with God. Some did, very few. Some did. They said, since you're such a blasphemer, we're going to try to kill you. Nobody can kill Jesus in this whole gospel presentation because he has to make it to the cross. Amen? It was prophesied. It was God's way of saving us. If they had stoned him to death, he would not have paid for our sins. He had to go to the cross. So what happens? He hid himself. I don't know if he blinded their eyes or if he became invisible. It doesn't tell us. But God's plan presses on until its completion. He had to get to the cross and suffer the eternal pain that we would have suffered if we went to hell. He suffered that on the cross, paid for every one of our sins, reconciled us to God, and now we have life. And the Jews could not see it. They would rather try to kill this man who was offering them life so they would never see death again. And yet they tried to kill the very author of life. In spite of the clear evidence concerning the person and work of Jesus, the unbelief of the Jews was so strong. And this is what unbelief does. It denies the very real things you can read in the Bible and see in life. How many people are teaching out there that man is not bad, he's not sinful, it's just the environment that makes him bad? See, they just can't see that it's sin that keeps you separated from God, and Jesus came to offer life to those who will believe him, trust in his word, and they'll never see death. They'll see physical death, but they'll never see eternal death. They couldn't see it. There's still overwhelming evidence in God's word that Jesus is God and the only way of salvation. Even though we don't see him physically, nobody has any excuse. Whoever hears this gospel has no excuse. Don't be like these Jews who believed in religious achievements and good works and all these things they could do to make themselves acceptable to God. There's no way to be acceptable to God by whatever you do. You must believe that Jesus did something that makes you acceptable to God. When you believe what Jesus did on the cross and in his resurrection, in his perfect life, when you believe that's the only way to get accepted by God, then you're a person of faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But it must be the Christ of the Bible, the same one that was speaking to the Jews. It must be him. You can't pick up stones in your heart and say, I don't like that Christ. He's too demanding. No, it must be the Christ who says, you hear my words and obey them and follow me, you have eternal life. What a privilege to be able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have a master finally that loves us and cares for us and wants us to succeed. The old master, Satan, was after you to destroy you, kill you, and wanted you to fail. When you believe in Jesus, you have a new master who paid for your sins, loves you. And he was able to pay for your sins because he is God. A perfect man, even if a perfect man had gone to the cross, a perfect human being, he could not have paid for our sins. Because we needed an eternal God who was also man to make that payment. Jesus did that. Praise his name. Don't be like these stubborn Jews. Don't keep not believing. Believe. Cast your cares upon him. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can save us from the wrath to come. Amen, amen. And amen. Brother Kent, can you ask the Lord to dismiss us with his blessing?